Real quick, rip off who's there present. I got everybody that's on Zoom already.
Okay, Brent Fulmer, Larry Clarkson, Mike McNichols, Danielle Clarkson.
Okay.
Jeff Bettina Collins.
Okay.
Dan Wirt.
Okay.
Castles. Okay. Vance Green.
Vance is there in person?
In the flesh.
All right.
And Tim Johnson.
He's not skeptical about
it. Perfect. Okay, I've got the roll call down, and on Zoom I see Clint Gray, Joe Bose, Dirk Clayson, Joan Smith, Lori Hopkins, Lori and or Steve. I can't. It looks like both, but that's who we have online at this point.
Okay.
I think that's Joy or Joe McElroy.
Lot 122 is Joe. Is
that? Yeah, it's Joe McElroy.
Oh, all right. Well, sorry about that. Got ya. Okay.
Okay. So, Barry, do you want to discuss the March meeting minutes?
Yes, so I need to discuss, so I've presented to the board the meeting minutes for both the month of January, which I had missed, and also for March. I have them pulled up. Are there any objections? I sent them to you a month or so ago and then again a week or so ago. Any changes, suggestions on, let's go through January 1st, and if there are any comments or changes there.
I don't have any changes.
Yeah, they look
I don't
good.
Either.
No, okay. Look good to me.
I'll make a motion to accept January's minutes as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I guess any opposed would be easier. Okay, January is approved. Let's talk just briefly if there's any changes to the March meeting minutes.
I didn't have any.
Barry, I sent you an email, but it just looked like the information at the top of the page was kind of jumbled up a bit, just like it was a margin thing or something like that. Just needs to make sure it's clean at the top.
It will be when I send it out. I had to use a different program. It looks a little different, but I haven't figured out how to make it look the same. But that's just because I was working remotely on that one. But it will be legible and readable when I finalize it. But I can definitely take care of that.
Okay. I didn't have any comments on the content. Content was fine.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion for approve the minutes of March.
Second.
All right. All any favor? Opposed?
Okay.
It doesn't sound like it. So I will finalize those two meeting minutes, sign them, and email them to the board and Danielle to be finalized, put in the book, and posted online.
Yeah, I need to post them online. I'm a little bit behind on that, but I'll make sure that these get posted with the rest of them, and we'll get that updated.
Okay. That's it as far as meeting minutes. You want me to go ahead, Brent, with the
waiver?
Yeah,
go ahead with the waiver stuff.
Hopefully everybody can hear me all right. We've had some concerns and some discussions with a few members related to the signing of waivers, and I'm interested in discussing a little bit the procedure right now. To clarify, the waiver form was adopted by the board just before the annual meeting, and at that point in time, no consequence was agreed upon or put in place as far as if members don't sign meeting the waiver. There was not agreed upon or voted on any kind of a suspension of voting rights or monetary penalty or otherwise, but in order for rules to be in effect and have effect, I anticipate putting together and doing a little bit of research with the fees and penalties that are allowed under the statute that I haven't reviewed recently, but I will be reviewing those and making a proposal to the board in the next meeting or so related to what the consequences should be as far as not signing the waiver. This is our first year, and for those of you that have the curiosity, we have 237 unique owners at the ranch, some owning more than one lot. We have to date, according to Danielle's record, received at least 137 signed waivers, so we're well over half, and we still have not coordinated with those members that signed the waiver. That does not include those members that signed the waiver in relationship or in connection to cabin reservations. So there may be an additional 20 or 30 lot owners that are included with the waivers being signed as part of a cabin reservation rather than through the email. I understand that there's some concern with daily emails going out to members to remind them to sign the waiver. I don't think we necessarily intended to have them that frequently, but there is a button to unsubscribe if that's bothering anyone. But at the end of the day, sometime between now and the annual meeting, I anticipate making a proposal to the board for consequences of those that don't sign the waiver, because obviously it's important that we all protect each other from claims from each other. As far as the waiver itself, I don't know that there's makes a whole lot of difference to discuss the contents. Those have been discussed quite a bit before they were adopted, and they've been adopted. So at this point, they are the rule. And so I anticipate moving forward with trying to gather waivers from those that don't object, and then adding some type of incentive to those that do object in the form of consequences as far as not signing the waiver, so that we can get that closer to having all members sign. So I don't know if there's any discussion among the board. I don't have a proposal at this point, but I will shortly.
No, you said the board.
Comments from the membership?
Well, I have a lot of comments, but I don't know that they would apply at this point until that's penalties actually imposed.
Okay.
Does Jeff have an opinion on what should happen for people that refuse to sign and break the rules?
Well, I don't think it should be in the rules to begin with. So that's a whole different problem. But implementing a punishment of some sort is just going to create the rest in the document that you're trying to use as your protection is trash. So seems kind of silly.
The document that's been proposed was effective enough that the board voted in favor of adopting it as part of the rules. So it is part of the rules, whether you like it or not. So
I get that.
If you force people to sign it, it's no longer valid.
So you're saying that by implementing a fee that creates the duress, which makes the waiver void.
Yes. So the last sentence or two on any waiver anywhere on this planet says, I signed this voluntarily under my own volition, knowing full well what the implications are. Now, forcing somebody through penalty does away with that whole sentence. So sure, they'll sign it, but they're not signing it voluntarily. They're signing it to avoid being punished for not signing it. So the document becomes trash.
So real quick, one of the discussions, and again, we haven't finalized any of this, but one of the discussions was more around recouping the costs of having to have additional insurance if there are members that don't want to sign. And then divide that by the members. So I think some of the past discussions you wanted to have an option if you didn't sign. And so I think Barry's going to be looking at it more from that perspective of, hey, if we have certain members that don't sign, it increases the risk. We'll have those members that don't want to sign bear the burden of that risk. So I don't know if it's going to fall into that same category. And again, we haven't finalized or discussed or done anything along those lines. But there are, I mean, currently today, if you don't sign the waiver, you do not, you cannot participate in the cabin, right? That's a current rule and regulation. So I think similar to that, you know, if you don't sign the waiver, you can't participate in the thing that the waiver is good for is kind of what I would be looking to approach it for, not as a punitive type scenario of, you know, we're going to penalize you. It's more of, hey, this is protecting us, and we need other protections in place if this isn't signed, as more of a scenario that way. So, again, yeah, we'll put more discussion going forward on that.
So you know that whole thing also violates Section 8.4 of the bylaws, right?
I think there's disagreement on that portion as well, but we can discuss that if we come up with a penalty as well.
No, the bylaws, Section 8.4, is discontinuance of voting rights or suspension of common area facility, and the only cause for suspension of common area facilities, which would be cabins, is not paying assessments. It says nothing about not signing a waiver. It says nothing about breaking a rule. It says nothing about any of those things. It says not paying an assessment.
Rules and regulations generally clarify the bylaws and stuff that way. It's not contrary. It's not going against the fact that there's penalties. It's giving additional clarification. So I think,
the rules and regulations can't sidestep or supersede the bylaws and or the requirements to modify a bylaw. Point a long time ago with putting the language that they're putting into the waiver, the current annual waiver that they want to require you to sign every year, is essentially a sidestep to modifying the language in Section 4.4 of the bylaws. You can't do that. The bylaws are there for a reason. You need to follow the bylaws or get off the board.
The bylaws clearly provide that the board can adopt rules and regulations from time to time, and there's absolutely no restriction in the bylaws that says the exclusive opportunity, the exclusive situation where we can suspend rights to use the common area or vote is only if on non-payment of the assessment. So we can talk all day about agreement or disagreement, but the fact of the matter is we certainly have the authority and ability to make rules and regulations for the orderly governance of the company and the assets. And so we don't need to discuss that further. Obviously, Jeff, you disagree with what's happened, and that's duly noted. At the end of the day, you have the right to vote on a different board to do something different, but that waiver has been adopted. It is the rule, and we will be putting together, or I will be putting together, a proposal of what the consequences should be, including an additional losing the voting right and an additional, at some point, financial contribution that members who don't sign the waiver can contribute to additional insurance coverage. And so once I have that, then you'll obviously have every opportunity to comment on it or discuss or put in your feelings, as well as all the other members and board members, but I will put that together in compliance with the statute and the bylaws and see if I can get the board to vote in favor of the proposal once I have it made. So.
And you believe that's the best interest of Deer Springs Ranch members?
Absolutely. Absolutely. To cover each of us from the association, from lawsuits, from things that happen on the ranch that people should be aware of, and with the situation with cabins and roadways and everything else, I absolutely think that is not only in the best interest of the corporation to protect itself, but I think it would be virtual malpractice to not have some type of a waiver involved. So,
but having separate waivers or disclaimers for aspects of the ranch, such as a waiver for water hauling, a waiver for cabin rentals, a disclaimer for driving on the road, a disclaimer for fishing the pond, should be efficient enough without forcing membership to abide by penalties, a waiver that's not even going to be held up in court.
Well, we discussed, as you guys were involved, we discussed for months and months and months whether to have one common waiver or whether to have a waiver for separate activities. And it's not, in my opinion, it's just not practical to have a separate waiver for every single activity. You can disagree if you want to, but again, the waiver as it stands was adopted by the board, and until the board votes something different or you get a different board in, it is the rule.
Well, we're going to continue to fight, and because it's not right. And you being one legal voice doesn't hold up in my book, because we have several other legal opinions that were contrary to yours.
As is your right, and if the board decides to get a second or third legal opinion, they're certainly entitled to do that. I'm not encouraging anyone to rely on my expertise or background. I simply participated in the committee to put together the language and present it to the board, and the board voted to adopt it. So, and they didn't, well, by the way, they didn't adopt everything that I proposed that I feel like is necessary, but I did, I am comfortable with living with what was adopted and moving forward. So, Is there any other input or concerns, anyone else out there? I mean, obviously, it's very difficult to talk about the validity or invalidity of penalties that we don't know what they are yet. So I think that discussion can be held off. But is there any other items that people are unhappy about? I know we have discussed making the daily emails a weekly thing, but everybody has an option of opting out of the emails altogether. Are there any other concerns? I know people were unhappy about that, and I apologize that we bugged people, but it is an effort to try to get the information to everybody that needed it, giving them an opportunity to opt out if they didn't want to.
Well, I think an opt-out option will tell you that you don't need to be abusing people's email addresses.
Duly noted. That's why we made the change.
Brent, if there isn't any other comment, I think at this point I don't know that there's any further discussion we need to have on this point. Obviously, then there will be a lot more discussion when we get to the point of putting together a proposal. And anyone else is obviously welcome to put together a competing or a different proposal as far as what they think should happen if people don't follow the rules. But I don't see the value of having rules without some consequence to breaking them or ignoring them. So,
can I ask a question? How come you keep simplifying the term to breaking the rules instead of using the language or the verbiage of what it actually is, forcing people to actually sign a legal contract?
Oh, okay.
It's more complicated than just breaking a rule.
How would you like for me to term what is essentially breaking the rules?
Well, I don't know, but when you say it like that, it kind of minimizes the the significance of what we're actually talking about.
Jeff, look, on one hand, you say that we're being too difficult, sending out emails and stuff. Now you're saying we're being too minimalistic. I just think you got an axe to grind, and I don't really understand what your basic issue is. But I think we are wasting a lot of time discussing things that are pretty irrelevant.
Forcing someone to sign a legal document isn't legal.
And even if it's legal, it's immoral. It's unethical. It's not right.
Okay, what's the problem with it? Do you purposely want to say, let's do away with this, let's go back and encourage people to sue the association and the board members, rather than have a discussion about some type of a, I'm accepting responsibility for my actions when I go to the ranch? I don't understand the problem.
Okay. So the problem is we're accepting, it's fine to accept your responsibility. So where's Deer Springs Ranch's accepting of responsibility? Because the waiver actually releases Deer Springs Ranch of all responsibility.
Yeah, what I'm saying is if you're a member and you're out to the ranch, we as a group of members either have the choice to have an increased cost of insurance liability. And I, by the way, was the board president when we did have a issue that we had to fight legally. I think the only one that the board has ever seen. And I can go through all the details of that. These kind of things are going to happen. That was a friend of a member. And, you know, it was kind of a nonsense thing where somebody made their decisions that ended up causing some issues. And there's no way that the ranch can ever be in a position to say that every piece of sagebrush might not be a trip hazard, or every issue that is associated with the ranch is guaranteed to be ADA compliant or whatever. So at some point in time, you have to have at least a general consensus from the board members with an effort of goodwill that we're working together as a team, and we kind of understand that we're all doing the best we can within a budget that we have. And outside of that, we all agree that we've got to assume some liability for our own activities on the ranch and can't pass that off to the ranch.
Okay.
And I just don't understand the whole lack of team spirit associated with, you know, all of the challenges associated with this. I frankly don't.
Well, so we've had a couple of personal instances where, and I could probably think of a dozen more, of where Deer Springs Ranch organization, if you will, should be held accountable for their actions. However, the waiver that you're trying to enforce here is a what's considered a blanket waiver. So basically it says Deer Springs Ranch cannot be held responsible for anybody's actions.
Yeah, and Jeff, in between you and me, if you can think of a dozen issues where the ranch should have been held legally liable for things,
where the ranch,
you and I have a really different opinion.
Correct.
Again, we're part of a team, are we not? Or are we part of a, hey, I'm going to line up all my ducks to get you in the next lawsuit?
No, I think I've talked with Jeff and Tina quite a bit, and they have the opinion that suing the ranch is like suing yourself, right? I don't think there's a concern.
Well, duh. So why are we arguing about this?
So I don't think they it's not like they have an intent to come out and sue, so I don't think we need to go down that direction.
Well, that's how they're coming across.
Yeah, so the
as he just said, he knows a dozen reasons why the ranch should have been held liable for something.
Well, and just to kind of go back to what Barry said, I think we've kind of discussed this quite a bit. My understanding is the biggest concern is that the current waiver doesn't or removes responsibility even for negligence of Deer Springs Ranch. So, and we had a big discussion around negligence versus gross negligence and the opportunity to be able to sue and do whatever that way. So I don't know that we're going to come to a conclusion that's different. Everybody's expressed the same opinions multiple times around the waiver itself. And as Barry mentioned before, there's no, we don't even have a penalty yet to discuss and kind of go with that. So I don't know that we can say that it's unenforceable, if there's a penalty involved, or because we haven't even seen what that would look like. And I'm interested to hear what Barry sees or comes up with. Maybe laws have changed a little bit to where we can't do what he's planning to intend. So a lot of stuff is still up in the air. I don't know if we want to get hard feelings at this point in time with where we're not even making a decision on anything today. And Jeff and Tina, we know you're not going to sign the waiver. We respect your right not to sign the waiver. And now we got to determine, because you haven't signed the waiver, what does that mean now? So the board hasn't made a decision, and we know that you feel it's unenforceable, so we'll have to take that into mind as we consider further actions going forward.
Yeah, I think for the purposes of today, we're having the same discussions we've had months and months and months before. The waiver is in effect without any penalty other than the cabins, and I understand that the Collinses object to that as being a violation of the bylaws. I understand that, but let's have this discussion a little again when I come up with a proposal as far as the consequences, and I will certainly work with Collinses directly to express what I feel and what I find and what I propose, and I know that they have friends or family that have given them different opinions, which I'm perfectly open to. But at the end of the day, we'll have to make a decision, and that will be a decision of the board as to how to move forward to make this work. I understand the frustrations all the way around, and I tend to be very much closer to Dirk's opinion as to why this is even an issue, but I understand it is, and everybody has the right to do that. But there's no reason to rehash all of this necessarily today again. There will be time to do that with my proposal. So,
in the meantime, maybe the Collinses can learn the difference between negligence and gross negligence.
Well, I think they fully understand that. I think that the issue we're dealing here, we shouldn't be discussing the waiver itself. The waiver's been adopted. Okay? If we're going to beat a dead horse for hours going back and forth. So,
bottom line is, if you put consequences on the members to sign the waiver, sign a legal document, that is not legal. It's putting a gun to everyone's head saying sign it or else.
I'm not an attorney. I don't know what's legal or what's not legal. Okay, so the only opinion we have so far is from an attorney. Okay, now you guys have an opinion from an attorney. I know that there are other people who've had opinions from other attorneys. I know that there's an attorney who's has an opinion. But I've not seen anything in writing from any of these people. Are they willing to put their name to this and say, you guys are out in left field? Because we can't keep this. We're discussing the waiver again. There's no sense in discussing the waiver. The waiver's been adopted. Barry said, if everybody, no one's been hurt with this yet. Not one person has been hurt. Damaged. Fined. Anything. Until somebody's been actually damaged, I think we're just wasting our time.
Well, I believe I'm going to continue bringing up the waiver every meeting until it's changed.
Dan, my suggestion to you is that you find a new board, you find people running for the board to change this waiver. because the board as it sits right now is in favor of the waiver, and I don't know. The only way I think you're not going to change our mind.
No, but I can put it on record every meeting.
You're free to do that. You're absolutely free to put it on record. But until we're told either by the courts or by, I'm saying is we're going to have to be told this is an illegal document, you can't enforce. Okay.
The whole purpose behind this waiver and everything we're doing is in an effort, an attempt to protect the ranch in common. So if there's a way that you can do that, or your legal, whoever's providing the legal opinion, if they have a way to accomplish that by different means, we would certainly welcome that.
Well, add to that, Larry, I think they have suggested that we put up signage with verbiage and stuff that way, but I don't think we ever went down the route of getting birding on signage. But that's,
we brought in those opinions. We brought in.
That has been brought up to before, is that they, rather than a waiver, they would like to see signage everywhere that people are acknowledging as they pass the sign. And I don't know if you want to go into more detail on that, Jeff and Tina, but that has been proposed by them.
Well, they're essentially their disclosures, right? So like, my father-in-law said, have you ever looked at the back of your Disneyland ticket? Most people don't, right? You buy your ticket to Disneyland, you walk in. On the back of your ticket is a disclosure that says, crap might happen. You might get hurt. We're not responsible. That's a disclosure. Essentially, by entering the gate, you accept that responsibility. You don't need a legal document that you got to force somebody to actually put pen to paper and sign it. Just by participating, you are accepting that responsibility. It's as simple as that.
It's not that simple, Gavin, because, for example, in the water district with our reservoirs and other projects, we've gone down the line of signage. And actually, for the most part, signage starts to create a whole new level of liability. Because you put up a sign that says, hey, there's a trip hazard here. Or, hey, watch out for the shoreline of the reservoir here. Or watch out for the trail over here. And invariably, you call attention to some things, but you will never call attention to everything. And so if you look at other big properties, even government-managed properties, there's typically not a way to create this type of immunity by just doing signage.
And signage is not nearly as enforceable as a signed waiver. There's no comparison between the two as far as the effectiveness of a warning label or a sign as opposed to somebody as a member of the group, as a member of the nonprofit corporation, signing, acknowledging that they accept the risk of participating in the activities of the ranch. So we're going through the circles again. Let me propose that we table this discussion until we have some specifics. I know that Collinses are unhappy about the language of the waiver, which is not going to change until the board changes. And they're unhappy about the possibility of a penalty or a consequence to that. As of right now, there really is none. There will be. And so let me put something together, and then we'll have something specific to discuss. That make sense?
Makes sense to me.
There will be a proposal, right? There's not necessarily there will be a penalty. The board still has to vote on that.
I don't get to make that decision. I'm going to make a proposal of what I think it should include. That as you know, it will go through discussions and modifications and revisions, and it may be adopted, it may not. I mean, ultimately, I can't tell everybody how to vote, but I'm going to put the research in because the Homeowners Association Act, the congressman that wrote the new version that just was adopted 2 weeks ago, I helped him write it. So, but I did not get into the section on penalties and fees and that kind of stuff. So I want to research and make sure that what I propose is in line with the current state of the law. And I can also pull out I can possibly pull out other owners association waivers just to just to put this discussion of you can't force somebody to sign a waiver as part of their membership. The waiver requirement has existed in our bylaws since the get go. So, but I can certainly give you more information to discuss as we move forward, rather than wasting a lot more time today.
Hey Barry, I don't want to prolong the discussion, but Clint Gray did make a good suggestion, I think, on the comments, and he's talking more of framing it as an incentive versus a punishment. So maybe we raise the fees, and then as an incentive, you get a discount off of the fees if you sign the waiver. So
I'm going to look at all of that, because again, I want to be clear that this isn't something we're doing to punish anybody or make their life miserable. It's really to bring us together and limit our liability. And if somebody absolutely refuses to sign a waiver, then they can participate in the cost of the additional insurance it would take to help cover the liability, so that we're all still not worried about assets of the ranch being taken away or subject to litigation. So
thanks, Barry.
The Collins's position is an existential threat to the ranch, which is a community, an HOA. It involves every member. It's an existential threat to every member.
What is?
And you are not the only one who knows attorneys.
But what's the existential threat?
You know,
I don't quite understand.
That you would even ask that question is indicative of your ignorance about these issues. You have really lousy judgment. All the way from uncapped gas lines in the garden cabin.
Dan, we don't need to keep going on this stuff.
Yeah. Uncapped gas lines for a month for children to play with. Kevin Poole told you when you were doing that to the garden cabin to cap those lines, to be sure to cap those lines.
Well, Kevin Poole didn't participate. So you're mistaken.
He told you.
No, he never.
All right, enough.
Hey, yeah, Brent, I'd like to make a motion that we table this
more, but I'm not gonna. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a motion that we table the discussion of waivers until a following meeting, when Barry can bring back the following or the information that he's recommended to be provided.
Yep. Let's move on to the next subject.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Mike, you're up. Okay, financial update. It's still early in the year, so things are looking very good banking-wise. We have a surplus in all of the accounts. In fact, we had a surplus in the checking account of over $30,000 more than what we would need to pay bills for the coming year. So Danielle and I took $30,000 out of the checking account and put it into three new CDs. So we now, instead of having 7 CDs that are earning interest, we now have 10 CDs that are earning interest for the ranch. We have $170,628 in our checking account. We have two different savings account. The first one is $15,715. The second one is $6,184. The first one is primarily intended to be used for water projects, which still need to be completed in the coming year. And that should be more than enough to cover the cost of what we need to do. The second savings account, $6,184, basically just a reserve that we can tap into if we need to. The annual meeting CD, which is the money set aside from the auctions at the annual meeting, $8,291, which we haven't decided what to do with yet, but at some point we'll need to make that decision. And when you add all those numbers together, the ranch currently has $305,000 and change in the bank. So still
like I said, still early in the year. We have a lot of expenses that we're going to incur as we operate in the coming months. But as of today, things are looking really good.
How much is set aside for future water projects?
Well, the money that's been set aside up until now has not been designated for, how do I say this? Has not been segregated for specific things. So all of the money could be used for anything at this point. So there is no, you know, when I mentioned the $15,000, that's basically because we had paid money up front. Larry, you probably can explain this better than me.
That amount was the four private lot connections on the 40,000-gallon headquarters water system. There are four lots that were attached to that. To get them into state compliance, there was a water plan drawn up and materials purchased to install those four connections. That was paid to Schultzens to buy everything, and it was somewhere around $22,000, $23,000. I went through that list and said, we don't need all of this stuff. So we have now completed two of the four connections, and we have spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $7,000. And so Schultzens refunded us $15,000-some-odd, and that's what that money is. Rather than just put it back in the general account and have it pay for tires and diesel and laundry detergent, whatever the ranch buys, we decided to put it in a separate account just to protect. Until we complete the four connections, we don't know. Is it going to require another $500, $5,000, or $15,000? That money should be held until we're complete. And then at that point, it could be paid on toward other water projects. So that really is not money for ranch blanket water projects. That was the refund from materials not used on the four connections to the water, the 40,000-gallon system.
Thanks. I'm going to have more to say about the Riley report at the end.
Okay, any other questions?
Actual cash refund instead of the credit.
Yes. Yeah, just to clean up their books and our books, because it kept, I mean, that's rolled over now for 2 years, and partially motivated by the fact that Whitney Church was our agent at Schultzens, and they transferred him to a different department, and so between his brain and my brain, I didn't want things to be lost and forgotten, and so rather than keep writing them on the back of a receipt, what we did or where we did, I said, let's just close it out, refund us the money. Now we'll be working with a new guy.
And the other reason that that's important is because we have a deadline in the future with the state saying we have to have that work completed by a certain date.
December 26th.
So again, we wanted to set that money aside to make sure we have the money to finish that project to be in compliance with state's requirements. Okay, any other questions about P&L or finances? All right, Brent.
Well, did you want to talk about the cabins at all, or are you?
Well, actually, I think Cody's probably going to talk more about cabins than I am, but we're in the process of getting them ready to open for the year. We've spent, I don't know, probably a couple $1,000s at this point on the bathrooms, remodel of the bathroom, two of the bathrooms in the garden cabin. We're working on, when I say we, I'm talking Brent, Jeff, and Tina, and Cody, I think, but, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
But working on the garden cabin deck to do some improvements on the garden cabin deck and the deck on cabin 8. But there's, you know, it's still very early in the season. We still have a lot of work to do on the cabins. And I can't provide any more specifics than that at this point.
just a quick comment that the cabin supplies orders that I did will be getting here later today, and then a couple throughout this next week. So anyone coming out to the ranch that could stop by and help shuttle those items, let me know.
I have items being shipped to my house on Monday for the garden cabin deck work. So as soon as those items get delivered on Monday, I could possibly come and just pick all that stuff up and bring it all out here together. So I think the plan is to work on the garden cabin deck on Tuesday. If it all works, yeah. So
I mean,
thank you.
It's a lot of Costco boxes, so it'll be.
Is it more than a pickup truck?
It could be.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll see.
Well, Brent said he's going on Monday, so.
I can come pick that stuff up, Mike.
Oh, you're coming on Monday? Okay.
I can make a trip on Monday. So
well, it depends on when it gets delivered. It might not get delivered till 6 in the evening.
Okay, well, yeah, if it gets delivered during the day, I can come get it.
Okay. Otherwise, we'll be there.
Hit it, Mike.
That's it.
Okay. Cody, you're up.
All righty. I got... spend as much time here over the winter as I really probably planned on. Andrea had surgery, and there was about a month there that I was not here, but I was just going to go over stuff that's been done here with cleaning up and getting comfort stuff up and going. All the lower cabins, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, have all been... the water and gas is on there, up and running. Ken does need a water heater. Brent, did you get a chance to build it all or look into that?
The water heater?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's...
I think I'm going to order one today.
Yes.
If the one that Jeff is recommending.
Okay.
And get it on its way.
And did we talk about maybe getting two instead of just ordering one, or are we just going
to
get
another? I'd like to order four myself, personally.
I mean, are we just getting the... I'm fine either way. I mean,
I was thinking four would be nice because I'd like to put one in eight. We got to replace the one in cabin 10. I'd like to put one in... I'd like to take the tank water heater out of the comfort stop, and I'd like to have a spare.
Okay. So, but just for now, we're just getting the one to get 10 up and going.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, if we all want to agree right now, I can order four as easily as I can order one. But that was not part of any previous discussion.
While the price is what it is and the availability is what it is, I would get all four now.
So okay. So I don't know that we need to vote on that, but you agree with that, right, Brent?
Oh, I'm the one who proposed.
That's what
it.
You
I
want.
It.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe in it. Yes.
So I will. Okay, I haven't seen that email yet, so I'll go pull that up online and I'll order it today.
But you see, the one thing we have to do in 10, and it's going to be pretty easy because of the way Kevin wired the cabin, we got an extra slot in the main panel, so we can put a breaker in. We got to run power over to where the water meter is. But it's a half an hour job.
Sounds good.
All right.
So, get her done.
Just the two bathrooms remodeled in the garden cabin here are mostly complete. I'm going to redo the entire stack underneath. So that'll be the toilets and the sink and both showers will all be redone, all in PVC to go down to that stack. Once that's done, I can turn on the water in there and get that all up and going. That should be done, I'm hoping, probably Monday or Tuesday for sure. So, I guess the cabin's opening up Wednesday or Thursday, I believe it is. It's next week.
That was a question we were going to have. Because usually it's open, all the cabins open the Friday of the week of the 15th. And then on the books, you have it opening on the 15th, so it's like Tuesday or Wednesday. So,
okay.
I don't know.
It might be Wednesday then. It might be Wednesday they open. I need to get on and look at when their schedule, because I know there's opening day, whether it be Wednesday or Thursday, there's, I think, two cabins that are checking in at this point anyhow.
What's wrong with the Chevy, the GMC?
So it's a driver's side front wheel, has a knocking or rocking. I'm guessing it's a CV or U-joint or whatever it is on that front side. I actually pulled the wheel off just to try to see, and I can't. I mean, it all seems fine when you pull the wheel out and spin things, and nothing seems loose or rattling. But when you drive it, it's
you can hear it, you can pretty hear it loud.
Oh yeah. So I don't know if it's this, like I said, CV or maybe.
What year's your truck? This one's a 2017.
That's interchangeable.
Maybe. Oh, what year's the? What's the ranch truck?
I can't remember. I think 2016. Okay, all right. Well, we'll address that.
Hey, real quick, going back to the reservations. The reservations were opened on the 15th, so reservations could be taken after the 15th. But like Cody said, there's a reservation for the garden cabin on the night of the 18th and for cabin 8 the night of the 18th. And then we've got an RV site coming in on the 21st.
Okay, Kate, thanks.
That's all I've got there, just getting the garden cabin up and going and these lower cabins ready to go.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Did somebody say something about Collins doing brush hogging? Was that done around the well?
Oh, no, yeah. Jeff and Tina, well, Jeff mostly went over and brush hogged, and then he went back and he hand clipped all the rev brush he couldn't brush hog, and then they went down with their dump trailer and loaded it all up and hauled it over to our slash pile. So the area around the well and the generator and the fuel tank and the generator vault and is all cleaned up.
Perfect.
Thank you. Anyway, thanks, you guys.
Literally, you have to go there. Larry's laughing.
All right. Jerk, if there anything you want to say, you want to just give a – I know that the NRCS thing is, you know, on hold and won't be happening until next year. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that.
While he's coming on, I think it's probably still important that we make some kind of effort to run pipe. The NRCS program will help pay to improve a watering system. They will not pay to install a watering system. So if we could run some sprinkler lines out here, they will pay next year to improve our watering system. But if we haven't done anything, they're not going to pay to create a watering system.
Sprinkler lines to where? From the well field?
Yes.
For so that we can try and demonstrate use.
Right.
At least there.
Yes.
And then there's about a dozen other places.
So well, I talked with the Ballards this week, Larry, on that to enlist their help. And he said that Clancy can help participate in working on that, not this upcoming week, but next week.
Okay.
And he feels like there's enough volunteer seed in the field that we maybe wouldn't have to worry about doing anything other than getting some water in it.
Yeah, I think if we get some water to it, it's going to come in pretty good and thick. What we really need is just some visual, something that they can see and document that we've watered something.
No. Larry, have you talked to Dirk about our idea on the half moon and running the water up? And
I haven't. He's so busy, he never gives me any time.
Yeah, whatever, Larry. We know you're the child.
I'm definitely in favor of figuring out if there's any way we can put some water on the ground and take pictures to show use in any areas that are at all feasible as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So related to that, I mean, we did 2 years ago now, we did all that rabbit brush hogging and knocking that stuff down, but we didn't have any plans to reseed or do anything in those areas. I mean, that kind of goes along with what you're going to irrigate, but I don't know that we're going to be able to irrigate all the areas that were brush hogged, but do we have any plans to try and get some seed where we, so we don't get more rabbit brush coming back, or thoughts around that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we should try to look at that. Do we have any kind of a seeder?
Yes, we do.
Yes, there's a drill, a grain drill.
Yeah.
And yeah, how about a broadcast?
We do have a broadcast also.
Yeah.
Well, just so you know, if it helps, I'm personally willing to throw some money at buying seed if that helps and is necessary, if somebody can give me direction as to where and when and how much, if I have some commitment that we have the ability to actually throw it out on the ground.
Well, that probably needs to happen this month or next, right? I mean, spring's coming quick into summer.
Well, it needed to happen in
the winter
last fall, but so
we're
yeah,
for next fall. I don't know.
I mean, we should put some out. It would probably be about a 50-50 whether it would, you know, do much, and we'd probably have to do it again in the fall. But we could put out some kind of easy. Crop like buckwheat or something that just would start to grow a bit of a cover crop.
Well, if you're the expert. I don't know anything about this stuff, but if it's better off in the fall, that's fine. But if we can do something this spring, I'm happy to participate.
Well, I think to do something this spring would be good just from the standpoint of trying to choke out other less desirable things that are going to happen if we don't. And maybe Larry and I, we need to meet up there with Ballard's, you know, in 2 weeks and kind of look at, are there any areas where we can flood irrigate out of the well? With, you know, some of the hand lines getting water to a source or around or near the well was one of the questions that Kevin Ballard had.
Well, so you guys are going up there in a week or two to review those and determine whether that's possible?
Yeah, he's out of town all next week, but the week after.
Okay, well, once you determine that, let me know if I need to. If I can pick something up somewhere, or if I can help finance something, I would like to help.
Okay.
All right, just to give you a brief update. You know, we had the sanitary survey, which went pretty good, and with the Department of Environmental Quality, and then we did our water test, which we passed. But Larry and I, we finally got the Half Moon well plumbed back into the piping, and now the controller's screwing up. So I'm going to go up and work on that this afternoon, and I might just bypass the controller altogether because I had it pumping and then it shut off, and it pumping and then it shut off, but we got cows out there now, so we need the water. So yeah. Anyway, that's just an update for you.
I understand.
Thanks, Brent.
I understand that the attempted renovation work on the Half Moon well has been completed. What is the output now?
Exactly what it was when we started.
Okay.
We as with usual things, I hate dealing with people that are so-called experts, and then when you see them do their work and you kind of scratch your head and go, I think my daughter, when she was 6 years old, could have done a better job than they did. Yeah. We, after all was said and done, I think we could have done a better job. I still question. You're not going to clean an 8-inch pipe very clean with a 7.5-inch brush. I was telling Danielle while we're driving out today, if I take my toothbrush and put it in the middle of my mouth and pull it in and out and in and out, if I don't put that brush against my teeth, I'm not brushing my teeth. So if you're trying to clean perforations in a steel casing with a chimney sweep brush that is smaller diameter than the casing, that just, to me, is not very...
Yeah, the brush didn't push down hard.
So what is there a plan now to change this?
We really can't do much right now because we need that, we need the well pumping, even if it's 5 gallons a minute. So to take it all apart and try to do something different right now is not logical. I still believe that there's things that can be done. But I think we may need to focus our efforts and make a plan of what other things do we do ranch-wise on water. I think there's going to be more members that are wanting to drill wells, and we'll learn. Every well that's drilled, you learn something. You gain a little more knowledge on the geology and it's hard to determine where do we need to focus our effort, our time, our money, our energy. Where do we need water?
Maybe this is the spot where I can make a few comments about the water and water rights at Deer Springs. I reviewed last week the Riley Water Consulting document, which is now 2 years old. We paid for that. The membership paid for that. And it looks to me like there are a couple of dozen instances of, as Riley says, use it or lose it. Apparently all of these things are way past the best use date, the use-by date. We're in danger of losing these water rights. I think some members have the opinion that that's no big deal, but I disagree. This is a very important part of our investment in this place. I want to, and you know, I'm glad to hear the conversation with Dirk and you all, that there are, there's a consciousness about protecting water rights. But I would ask the board double down and get some concrete planning done, and it sounds like you're on the way to that, about how we can prove up or demonstrate actual use. Riley says use it or lose it or submit non-use applications. And, you know, I can't comment on those alternatives. But I think if we had a the board can come up with concrete planning on how to attack this problem, the funding would be very good idea before we lose the water rights, because a lot of effort obviously was put into establishing these water rights. I think that that is much more important than this business of a reserve fund with money that just sits there because there might be some catastrophe in the future.
We're in a little bit different position now than we have been for years. I mean, like Mike mentioned earlier, we do have money in the bank. Not I mean, we could certainly spend that amount of money on the ranch in a heartbeat, but there is money. The Dirk's been doing quite a bit of work in research and finding out things on the from the water rights. I think that the water committee and the board need, like you said, to focus a little more on putting together an action plan, spend some money, physically do stuff, because the water rights have great value, but will cost money to convert them into actually usable wet water. And we've been unable financially or unwilling time-wise for years and years to actually do something to bring that what's on paper as a water right to physical, green, you know, cold, wet, liquid water.
No, I agree with you. Dirk, are you there?
Yes.
I appreciate your expertise and efforts on the water.
Yeah, I think just in a quick summary, our opportunity to either put it to use or file non-use is, I think our first effort is to put to use what we can, because there's a risk of when you file non-use that they would look and say, that there really isn't evident that the water right has the validity to it in the first place. And I can say to some degree, because this area is still open to new appropriations and isn't an aquifer that's been challenged like a lot of aquifers in the state, that there's never been a real good review of the water rights that even Deer Springs has, and that in that review process, it would be really difficult for us to show evidences that they, you know, have been used in the last 50 years in a way that would justify the water rights on paper. But the biggest risk water right would be the well-filled water right. And so trying to get that area covered and at least have a year's information on it will be a big help, so that we can, and then likely, you know, the well-filled was the second one. We hope that it would be able to show that we could get more water out of this well, and that attempt failed. But aside from those two main efforts, the next step would be to probably carefully file for non-use. And I'd like to actually maybe meet with some of the folks at the Division of Water Right and have a little bit of a handshake discussion with them before we just submit paperwork and send it up to Salt Lake and have no advocacy for it. So that's kind of the way I see it playing out.
That sounds good, Dirk. It was also my intuition that submitting non-use after so many years would be like batting the hornet's nest.
Yeah.
Get it on water, Dirk.
No, I,
I don't know that this has been said in a board meeting, but it's been communicated to the board, and that is, even though that Kevin Ballard and I submitted NRCS applications for a variety of projects on the ranch this year, and the majority of those projects were approved as valid projects, then when they prioritized the funding and allocated the funding, there was no, we fell below the line of funding resources. And to some degree, the way the NRCS works is if you just keep your application current every year, they, you know, will work you up in the priority from where you were left off the previous year. So we're probably in pretty good standing to get some assistance next year, and trying to show some evidence of the irrigation area is, you know, about the only thing that we can do this year to be more prepared for next year in regards to that funding.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, Kay, do you have any going into Bridgeport? Kay,
yeah, so
road projects?
Yeah, so real quick, we haven't actually defined or prioritized the road projects. Larry and I did drive around, and we've got a bunch of projects in mind. I did drive around last weekend just to kind of see how we survived the winter. Even though it was a very dry winter, it seems like, especially on the slide, we had individuals that decided to drive up slide when it was wet and mucky and they shouldn't have been driving. So Larry and I will work to see what we can do to resolve that. But at the same time, it's hard to keep on going fixing problems when people don't do their part in order to keep our roads and stuff nice. So again, just a reminder, if it's too wet, you're making ditches and trenches and gullies, let's try and stay off the roads and park and wait for things to dry out a little bit. And I'm assuming people maybe come out to the ranch assuming things were dry and got stuck in the weather, et cetera, but we really got to do our part to keep the roads looking well. For any members that have reached out for special projects, I'd like you to reach out to me. Let me know when you're going to be at the ranch. So, Dan, that includes you. I'd like to know what you think you can contribute in the form of culverts, et cetera, related to those projects, what your plans are, and we can start coordinating some of that with Larry's availability, et cetera. So that's really all I've got right now on the roads, unless anybody's got any questions or issues that need to be brought up. Well, I guess there's one other. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Dan. I think I missed that. Were you addressing that to me?
Yeah, so you requested that some work be done on the roads over by your lots. So if you can get with me when you're going to be out there sometime, we can arrange a time to get together and just go through that and see what you're willing to contribute and stuff that way. So if there's any other areas as well, they can do the same.
Kay, you will recall that in an email, I already committed to providing any necessary culverts on that lower road.
You did, and I want to just verify where and what. I just want to walk through it with you in order to be able to.
Yeah. I'm perfectly willing to do that, although it might make more sense for Larry to be along on that.
Yeah, Larry's already driven the road with me. The two of us went out and looked at it. So, again, we can make some recommendations and stuff that way, too. But I wanted to meet with you in person as we talk through the road and come to an agreement with that. So no rush on it, but we will need to get together and kind of arrange that.
You can tell me when you're available, and we'll also involve Larry.
Okay, sounds good.
Maybe this is the appropriate spot for my other comment to the board, which is I think that we should take advantage of Dale Clarkson's very generous offer to provide cinders from his cinder mine, which, by the way, he pays for, and has generously offered to assist in getting cinders on ranch roads. And so my idea is to get that started, to identify some section of roads in which we can perform an experiment and, say, put cinders on a quarter of a mile of road and then see what happens as an experiment.
I can respond to that one. So we already have started doing a little bit of that over on Slide. Larry and I have also discussed the possibility of having members go up and get cinders, but we're a little bit concerned about the steepness of that road, equipment, et cetera, that way. So we haven't really come to a good solution on that scenario. But Larry has definitely got areas identified over in the Slide Canyon area. He's already laid a little bit of cinders in some areas, but we need to do a more concerted effort on that. So that is in the plan and in the works. But it won't be over. It's not worth hauling all of that stuff over, clear over to the other side of the ranch. It'll probably be more maintained and stuff over on the Slide Canyon side.
Cade, just for your information, Dan talked with me earlier before the meeting and offered to pay to use part of his road as a test pat, a test strip.
Gotcha.
And so if he's willing to cover the expense of fuel or time to take it over there, it's available to go anywhere. It's easier when you're doing a 15-minute turnaround or a 2-hour turnaround hauling.
Yeah, if he's willing to cover that expense, so maybe you and I can get together with him and we can go over both those and the needed culverts and come up with that plan. So appreciate your willingness to help out with that, Dan. And again, we're prioritizing similar situations where other ranch members would like to contribute to help get roads done. Just contact us and get a plan that way. And then, Larry, the one other thing I want to discuss real quick was the plans for the crossover between Broad Hollow and Slide. There was an area that volunteered to put some culverts in over there. If you could give an update on that plan or how I can help you there with that, that'd be great.
You're talking about the drainage right there at Collins?
Correct.
Lot corner? Yeah. We were making pretty good progress on that until it started snowing on us and making messes, and so now that we're done with that little brief mud hole, we just need to evaluate and see. Jeff and Tina had some 12-inch PVC pipe that they would have available to put there. I've got some other bigger culverts that I think is probably more practical to put there. Even putting two 12-inch culverts is much less effective than putting one 24-inch culvert. But I'll be back on that this next week, and we'll get that resolved.
Okay, well, feel free to reach out to me if the ranch needs to help out or whatever with that, and let's come up with a good plan for that section as well. Even the 12 inches, if they're willing to keep them cleared out, I'm kind of okay with that too, but we'll...
Yeah, and that's what I told them. That makes a difference. If something is cleared frequently, then it's less a problem. But unfortunately, in the past, we've put in lots and lots of culverts that just get forgotten and buried, and then we wonder why did the road wash out?
Yeah, and I trust the Collins to keep it clear, but how long will that last, right? So, I mean, they plan on being there forever and ever, but never know.
Jeff said it will last until they die.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I've done.
I was looking at him. That might be this afternoon.
Okay, and then that's all I've got on roads, but I've got to drop here real quick, so if I can get an update on how I can help with the playground. Are we going to do the playground today, or?
We're going to get started on it. Before you go, Cody, do you have, Cade said he dropped the hardware off. You got the hardware?
Yes.
Okay.
There.
Okay, cool. So I just wanted to make sure that Cody had actually put eyes on the hardware.
Yeah, so are you still planning on trying to at least, like, I don't know if you can actually get it done, but discuss it, come up with a plan, or...
Well, it depends on how many volunteers we have and how long we want to go for it today, but we're at least going to get started. So I want to at least move the pieces over to the area where it's going to be assembled, and then, yeah, we'll go from there. We're definitely not going to be able to get it completely done today.
Yeah, the only thought process I had is the people that took it apart recommended possibly digging out an area big enough for it, so it's a little bit dug down, and I don't know that Larry took that. He leveled everything out, but they recommended digging down a couple of feet so that then you could set it up, maybe form around all the posts and cement those in and then backfill it, because it's going to be really hard to figure out where the posts need to go and drill just post holes. But I open the suggestions there, but that's what they suggested.
So here's my thought process and how I would go about it. Those pieces are all, even when they're assembled, are fairly light relative to what I'm usually picking up. There's no way you're going to know where to put posts unless you reassemble the pieces.
Yep.
So I would say let's get everything lined out, laid out, and actually assemble, build each component of the playground, even just, you know, on its side, standing up, however. That way we can then take, I don't know if there's 5 pieces or 8 pieces, how many pieces there are, but then those can be moved into location so that we know where do we need it, unless you have the blueprint.
There's no diagram, yeah. There's no diagram
to tell you your holes need to be 6 foot on center, 4 foot on center, 9 foot, 4 inches, this way, that way. But if we have everything built, then we can place them where they need to be, make the marks, stake it out, chalk line it, paint it, whatever, drill holes, and then set them into place and cement them in place.
Okay, so you think with the equipment we've got, you can go ahead and just lift them up and move them around or do whatever we need to from that perspective?
Okay. Yep.
I mean, like you said, you may have to do some of the pieces individually, not connect them fully, to kind of keep them manageable, but I think that's doable. So do you need anything else from me to support that, Mike?
No, not today. I printed the pictures that you sent to me, so I printed them off so we can at least see what it looked like before it was taken apart.
Okay, sounds good. Well, appreciate you putting that effort together. Sorry I couldn't make it this weekend. I really wanted to be there, but I'm sure there'll be more work.
Oh, don't worry. There's going to be plenty left to do after today, so you'll be able to help.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, I need to take off to a wedding. Is there anything else for me?
Nope. You can go.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Kate.
Feel free to mention my name.
I'll do, Brent.
Eric, I know you talked briefly to Rod about the gravel biff.
I talked to him, and I did. I don't know if you saw it coming down this morning. Did you see
that?
Yes. I started roughing it out, so that'll be underway in my spare time. See if I lost my note. Got fish ordered for the ponds to be delivered on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, really? Cool.
So anybody that wants to come out on that day.
Time they usually show up?
It depends on their schedule, but usually morning, 10, 11 o'clock.
Everybody?
Yeah. What I thought we ought to do is have a fish fry on the side of the pond. Not the fish that they're delivering. But I'll bring some salmon and some halibut from Alaska, and we'll fry up some fish tacos on the.
I'll be there.
Are you still going to be around in May?
I'll be there.
We'll be here. They can be there.
What's the date?
May 5th, Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
So bring some salsa. Yeah.
Salmon?
Heck yeah. I got to get rid of it. I got a whole new season coming up.
Speaking of, when do you leave?
I'm not going in May. I will leave like July 20th this year. So too many things to do. So fish May 5th will be delivered. We already talked about Half Moon Will getting back online, so we should have Cal Water
today. Hopefully.
Today. I think there's still one hole in the fence over here that I tore apart when we were doing stuff that I need to re-fence and then close off the gap across the bottom end of the well field over here so cows can't sneak up from the bottom of the wash. Other than that.
Last month you mentioned training people on the grader. The grader's missing.
We sold it. We decided it was too much hassle, so we just... the grader is over in Crawford right now working on Outlaw Ridge and I forgot the other name of the...
Yeah, whatever it is.
The road
to Larry Sims.
So my grader, if I was up working by your place, started making a funny noise, so I thought, that doesn't sound good. I'm going to haul it to town and diagnose it. So I trucked it on my low boy to town, took it into the shop, thought, sometimes a motor will make noises if the injectors are bad. So we pulled all the injectors, cleaned them, put it back in. Nope, that wasn't it. Went to the overhead, and that wasn't it. And finally identified a bad bearing down in the crank, which is bad news. So before it destroyed it, I left town. I left the guy my credit card. I said, order the replacement kit, which was about $1,200 of bearings and parts and pieces, and a $600 crank to rebuild it before it blew up. Came out here and worked for the day. When I got back to town, they started it to drive it into the shop and blew it up. So I ended up having to buy a whole new engine. So it,
this is your grader?
Yeah. So I got an engine from Pennsylvania. And it was shipped into Vegas last week, and I went down and got it, hauled it in. It's in the shop right now getting all the parts and pieces from the old engine, the hydraulic pump, and there's a billion things off this one to put on that one and then put it in. So hopefully my grader will be back in operation this next week. But it's one thing after another after another. It's not a dump truck or a grader or a screener or a...
What's going on with the belt on that screener?
When you fold up the wings, it just makes...
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So when it folds out, when it folds back out, it
tightens up.
All right. Usually when I fold it up, I put a bungee across it to hold it so it doesn't droop down underneath there.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
All right, Michael, we've already talked about the playground assembly.
Yeah, the only comment I want to make is the more the merrier. So if anybody has the ability...
Yeah, no excuses. Christina drove all the way from Vegas today just to help put the playground together.
We're not going to get it all done today, but the main objective is to try to get all the pieces over to the area where it's going to end up, try to... put as many of those things
This goes to that.
And then go from there. So.
Okay. All right. Cool. Barry, do you have anything?
Nothing further from me.
All right. Cool. Dirk, anything else?
Nope. No, sir.
All right. Cool. Open forum. 2-3 minutes. Anybody got anything?
I'm going to sneak in there. The lots that are past due for this year, I'm at 31, which is pretty high.
Oh, wow.
I usually expect to be around 20. So I'll be sending a hard copy letter to them with reminders and updated finance charges. For the lots that are 2 years past due and eligible for delinquency, I'm at 10, which is also pretty high.
Wow. How many?
10.
Really? Okay.
And the year before last year, I got him to the attorney probably around June. Last year, I only had 2, and so I worked on them pretty hard and didn't need a send to the attorney. I'll probably work on these till... June or July. See if I can't get them resolved by then, and then we'll send them on to the attorney.
You do have contacts on everybody except the one you talked to me about?
I need to go review.
Okay.
Because I can see that they've looked at their invoices, so if there's anyone that I see not doing that, then I obviously don't have
a current, yeah.
Yeah, so, and you know, you said that 10 are due, past due more than a year, is that what I heard?
They're 2 years, which two is when we send them to collections.
10 of them.
At 2 years delinquency, then it goes to that process that the attorney gets involved and starts trying to collect, and if they don't resolve it, then that will lead into a sheriff's sale type foreclosure.
File a lien against it, try to resolve it. If it's not discussed and a plan made, then it goes to foreclosure. I don't know the last time it actually happened that it was foreclosed on.
Is that it, Danielle, on yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's providing lunch? That's my question.
I'm calling. I'm calling for adjournment.
Let's set the date for our next meeting, which will be
May 10th.
May 10th?
May 10th, right there, Larry.
10 a.m. In person.
Oh, I see it right there.
And the branch HQ plus in.
Okay. Well, I will second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All righty. Thank you.
Cool beans.